9 o'clock, I guess we'll call the meeting to order. This one was in the water all day, and it's not waterproof, but we'll go with it. Roll call, Supervisor Wambold is excused, he's traveling. Otherwise, the rest of us are all here. We have two new youth and governance. So, even though we all heard their names on the big presentation night, I thought that we could have you guys introduce yourselves to the committee. And then the committee and the staff will introduce ourselves to you, because it's going to take a couple meetings. If you want to fire off, and then we'll go around the table.
Okay, I'm Alexander Dawson. I'm a senior at Wascosa Central High School.
I'm Aiden Moore. I'm just finishing my sophomore year at St. Joseph Catholic Academy.
And, Ray, we'll start with you.
Frank Martinelli, I'm the Engineering Project Manager for the Department of Public Works Facility.
I'm Ray Arbit, the Public Works Director for the county.
And I'm Matt Collins, Director for the Parks.
John Franco, County Board Supervisor, 13th District.
My traffic facilities manager.
And what do you have in the administrative assistant?
I'm Dennis Sullivan, I'm County Board Supervisor, Chairman of this committee.
John O'Day, County Supervisor over just west of Trapper High School.
I'm Bill Grady, local eye doctor, represent First District, which is just Carthage area and south down to Harbor Park.
Steve Bostrom, local realtor, supervisor of District 8, which is where St. Joseph Catholic Academy is.
Jill Gilmore, County Board Supervisor, District 18, which is part of Bristol and part of Public Works.
So, we have this meeting here once a year. I don't know why we don't do it more than once a year, but once a year. Pringle Laser Center operates out of Bristol Woods County Park. And these folks are here from Pringle. So Jim Kupfer, Jim is our financial man for the Parks Department. And Val, if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Yeah, so I'm Val Young, the naturalist here. Then we've got Warren, who's the vice chair of the board, and Al, who's our secretary of the board of directors. So,
and we thank you for having us here. And we do it here because they have a nice office, and the other parks would be out in a shelter somewhere. When we can guarantee 80.
Next month.
We'll try not to keep you too late this evening. That's a real approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. We'll go right down the agenda here. If everyone got copies of the minutes, if I could have a motion for approval. Moved by Supervisor Gilmore.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Franco. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, youth and governance? You didn't see them, but. Okay. Committee?
Aye.
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 Thank you. So Clements is at a Highway Commissioners Conference in Madison. As I said, Supervisor Wambold is traveling. I don't have a whole lot to comment on. I've got, naturally, once the weather broke, according to Ray and according to Clement, our highway department is just swamped. They're on the full-blown paving. We'll have Clement's report later in the meeting. Supervisor Gilmore asked me, and I'm going to do it under my comments before we go to Supervisor, asked me if he could have a presentation from some gentlemen here. And I'll let Supervisor Gilmore give the introduction. And how much time do you folks need?
Whatever you allow us to have.
Okay.
10 minutes, I
call
it 10 minutes.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this is Adam Andrews and Jay M. Ralph, and they're with AeroWorks. And the reason that they are here this evening is they are the owner-operator of AeroWorks, which is a drone organization, and they do a lot of work in Kenosha County, and we've had a lot of conversations in regards to more space for them to allow for some use of the equipment that they use for multiple things. And so I invited them here to explain the reason that they need some more space, and I'll hand it over to them.
Well, like Jill said, my name is Adam Andrews. I'm the owner of AeroWorks, and Jay works with me. And we are actually commercial UAS operators, and UAS is unmanned aerial system. So we actually use drones and aircraft similar to this for a variety of purposes, from construction mapping to aerial photography and video, thermal imaging, search and rescue. They're being used in law enforcement a lot more, firefighting. We actually provide training to people, as well as the commercial operations that we use. And you've probably all heard about drones in the news, or you've seen them on TV, or you know, somewhere at some point over the last 5 or 6 years, which is really the amount of time that it's taken for these to just explode. Previous to that, both Jay and myself, and maybe some of you here, have been around or exposed to just model aircraft, RC models that were flown typically at a traditional RC club or maybe a small park. But with the advantages of some of the technology that we have now with these quadcopters that have GPS and they're very stable and easy to fly, a lot more people are getting these, buying these, and they're coming into the hobby initially. Some of them are turning them into businesses. Just last year, somewhere in the estimate of 750 to 800,000 of these aircraft were registered to people. And the one reason I throw that number out is, has anybody here had somebody in their neighborhood or around them have seen one? Maybe you own one, we've got one, two, three or four people. So out of those 800,000 aircraft, we only have four people here that have actually seen one. There's a lot of media hype about them being dangerous, interfering with aircraft, and a lot of different things. And what we find is that, you know, 70-80% of the people that use these follow the instructions, they read the manual, they follow the FAA guidelines, which basically are common sense guidelines, like don't fly above 400 feet, don't fly over crowded people, things like that. But one of the things that we find is that while we can operate in a lot more places than hobbyists can because we have permits from the FAA, it's becoming more and more difficult for even just a hobbyist to go out and buy one of these to fly, because you can't fly within 5 miles of an airport, you can't fly in a city park, county park, federal park, can't fly over people, you can't, you know, there's all these places you can fly. So what happens is it kind of creates a rogue drone, you know, movement of people that are out flying in places they really shouldn't because they don't have great big open spaces that they could do it very safely. We teach safe flying, we teach rules and regulations to both just hobbyists and commercial operators on how to become legal in the FAA's mind, but also just how to fly safely. And when Jill had mentioned that it might be a good idea just to mention that, you know, it would be great to have some space that would be, you know, great to use. There's a lot of places, even in Kenosha, for instance, Anderson Park is a huge soccer field. Now, when there's no soccer going on, which is, I don't know the exact soccer schedule, but more times than not, you go there and there's nobody in that field. Beautiful place, it'd be really a nice place for someone to learn how to fly a small aircraft like one of these, but they're not allowed there. So when you take out places like that and places like you can't fly near the airport and all these other places, it really becomes difficult to fly these things. And again, it kind of creates that unsafe operation, which we don't want people to do. So some of the technology, when we talk about the old days of drones, old days is like 6 years ago. So, you know, it's not very long ago. When Jay and I first got into flying this style of a drone or quadcopter, you had to build them from scratch. So you had to buy all the parts, you had to buy a flight controller, sometimes you had to program the flight controller. Now you can walk into Best Buy and essentially buy something that has the ability to fly for 25 minutes, it has sensors on all four sides, these little eyeballs right here, keep it from running into things. So it becomes extremely safe because the aircraft knows where it is at all times because it has GPS. It knows what's in front of it, on the sides and back of it, because it has sensors all the way around, including on the bottom. We have sonar and actually what we call optical flow cameras that actually photograph the ground and keep it in position. So it can become, you know, it's a very safe aircraft. And, you know, when we go out, we usually teach people, you know, a little bit about the regulations first. And then we go through some really basic flying, which is like maybe 10 feet off the ground, and we do some basic flying and teach them, you know, the basic maneuvers to become safe. We talk about some of the software that's involved, and then it can, you know, develop to whatever somebody wants to learn from there. But again, lots of positive uses, and we are always promoting positive uses. You know, we are involved in a search and rescue in Waukesha. You know, we use thermal imaging, searching for a missing autistic boy. We've offered up help to local law enforcement when the Obregon search was going on. There's a lot of different ways. We use it primarily in our business for construction mapping. So we map construction sites on a regular basis, and we're able to keep the project on task by providing project photos and high-resolution imagery of a construction site so they can actually see it progress over time. We create 3D models. We show them, you know, where the project's supposed to be compared to where it actually is. So there's a lot of cost savings for businesses and industries. I'm not sure we're out of time, but if anybody has any questions for anything I've talked about so far, the main point was it would be awesome if we had a little bit of free space to fly these, and with a little bit of guidance, and I think it could be done safely, like it's been done the last 50 years in the model aviation world, at airfields all over the United States. Anybody have any questions about any of the anything we have, or
anything from anyone? Oh, it's great. We thank you for coming.
Yeah, no problem. I'll leave some cards too if anybody has some questions or wants to learn more about commercial UAS industry. You can look it up. We're based out of Kenosha here, so.
Right.
Right.
Can we move it up?
Yeah.
Sure.
If you get up there, since he's here.
Right.
He might have to.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Working it out. Okay. Alrighty then. So now we'll go to supervisors. Any comments? Any? Youth and governance? Anything yet? Citizens' comments would be next. Any citizens that would like to address the committee on any item that pertains to any business that we do between parks, facilities, highways. Mm-hmm. Now would be the time.
You got to hand up.
Yes, ma'am. All we ask is your name and address.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer Franco. I'm from District 13. I'm related to Supervisor Franco. And I just wanted to give everybody a shout out. I was at the at Petrifying Springs. I was walking around, and I was just really impressed by how everything looked. You know, the lawn is mowed, and the nets are up, and I saw people walking and biking, and kids were there, a group of special needs individuals. You know, I was there a couple times in just the last week, and it just looked awesome. And Supervisor Franco and I were there at the beer garden opening as well. It was well attended. And I was especially impressed by the variety of things on the menu. I thought, oh, well, is it just going to be beer? And it wasn't. They had wine as well. No, they also had, you know, soda and water. They had pretzels and sausages, which completely resonated with my German heritage. So kudos to you, to this committee, to the county board. I think our tax dollars are obviously very well spent, and I just continue to be amazed by how everything is run and maintained. So kudos to you all.
Thank you. Any other citizens' comments? If not, I have been informed that we have one resolution before us here for the Traffic Safety Commission, and Captain Kowalski is on duty. So we're going to move that up, if that's fine with everyone. We have a great need, for diversity on the Traffic Safety Commission. And police officers naturally fit into one of the categories that we need. We have a very, as I said, diverse group. And to have someone volunteer for this is a big commitment. Not that there's a ton of meetings, but there is involvement. There's sometimes some time away from work. We also thank their employers because they're allowed that And we have, everyone has had his resume, and I would thank him for being here this evening, because many times that's difficult. So, if we have any questions, if not, could I have a motion to move this resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor O'Day, seconded by Supervisor
Bostrom.
I didn't hear what I was looking for.
No worries.
Any discussion, any questions? If not, all those in favor, you the governor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. So the appointment is approved. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Yes, sir. I thought I had an address. He was on sale.
Now.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to ask before we actually went into, we didn't formally list it on the agenda, but we typically will give the Pringle.
I'm just going to. So, yeah, before we get into our business end here, Val, are you going to, or
yeah,
whoever is going to give us a little update on things?
Yeah. So, quite a few different new things this year. I don't remember if the tank was up last year, but we want to give a shout out to Matt or John that he had some workers able to help us get that tank that was in some guy's basement. And they was like, you can have it if you get it out of my basement. And our board, well, they're not the most spry of gentlemen anymore. So we were able to get some youngins to bring that in for us. And so we've got some Lake Michigan fish in there right now. So we're pretty close to the same thing as last year with how many school groups we're having out here for field trips. Again, we're kind of done with our snowshoe rentals because of lack of snow, too warm of a winter. A couple new programs that we got through grant monies. We were able to work with the Kenosha Unified Deaf and Hard of Hearing students to create a program just for them. So we got, with grant monies, a microphone, with a headset, and we were able to get an SLR camera to blow up images. And so they came out for a field trip, and they were just amazed at being able to hear the sounds that they haven't been able to hear before, because these are audiences that nature centers are tend to typically to like forget about. Like, we want to get people out to nature, but we tend to forget that there's like special needs. And so we were able to get a grant money through for that. We also received grant monies to create a Girls in STEM program to encourage middle school girls to go into the sciences. And we've had a lot of interest, but it's still kind of slow going because a lot of the girls that are interested are also involved in lots of other programs as well. Our nature-themed birthday parties are on uptick as well, as more and more families are like, oh, I didn't realize you guys did birthday parties. Another new program that we did, I was doing, I don't remember how exactly I found this, but there's an International Monday where people just go out and play in the mud. And we didn't expect the first year that we did this to be as popular, because I was like, should I get one kiddie pool or two kiddie pools? Murphy's Law is going to be, if I get one pool, there's going to be a lot of people. If I get two, not a lot. And we had a lot of people come out. And so we want to get a nature play area going, and so we're hoping to make that a permanent feature in our nature play area. So we want to come to our next Monday, June 28th. And then also last year, we were approached by a yoga instructor to do yoga classes out here. We talked with Matt, gave us the okay to work with her, and she's coming back for her second season to do yoga out here, and so her first classes are actually going to start this week. More grants that we were able to receive were for some free milkweed plants. And so one we just was straight up free, and so we planted them in our little expanded prairie plot there. And then we're going to receive some more, which we're going to plant out in the bigger prairie. Bob and Julie Pringles also donated $250 to help out with our Mother's Day event, which continues to be a really good program for us. So what it is we serve a light brunch, and then we go out onto the trails and identify the wildflowers that are blooming in the park. And a lot of people like coming to that program because it's something different from Mother's Day. Now, if we can only get Mother's Day event, that'd be great. So the Fall Fest and the Birthday Celebration, a lot of people this year were really excited. They really wanted to see the Falconer, so that was like the first thing everybody asked when they got, where's the Falconer, where's the Falconer? And of course the Monarch tagging as well. A professor over at Carthage College is helping us with PR. We were hoping to get a concert series this summer on the stage out there, but she's been having problems with Carthage, so I don't think we'll be able to have our summer concert series. But last summer we actually had someone from the Renaissance Fair come out here. I don't know if anybody's been there, but the Clan Tinker, one of them came out and they wanted to do a performance here. So hopefully we'll be able to get them to come out. And then on the back side here, I've got some three screenshots. I don't really consider these big things, but hey, as long as it gets our name out there, but we were listed on Best Things Wisconsin and Only Wisconsin as kind of the top nature centers in the state, but I don't really think that's really too big of a deal. We've also had students from the Restoration Ecology class at Parkside to come out and kind of study the land, because we're slowly working on getting this back to Oak Savannah. With the more classrooms that we've had with the Mighty Acorns program, we're able to put a little bit more of a dent into the invasive. And then also, we're kind of, through some different conferences I've been to, we're working on doing a high-tech interpretive trail. And then lastly, I also was Project Range Bee Facilitator of the Year, so I'm the first naturalist, even though it's an individual award, the first award that the Nature Center has kind of received. So,
good job.
Very nice.
So are there any questions for me?
Would you like a drone?
You could use it, sure.
I'm in between on those. Thank you,
Val. And again, thank all of you. Okay, we will move on to Mr. Collins, Parks Division.
Excellent. I'm going to pass these one around for the consideration for a resolution to repurpose facilities building improvement funds for the purpose of replacing two roofs at the Kemper Center. So these pictures that you'll be seeing kind of sum it up, but to give a little bit of background story on the Kemper Center side of things, we had a lot of our facilities inspected through Industrial Roofing Services back in 2015, and that included the Kemper Center for all of its 46 roofs. So there's been an ongoing plan to continue to maintain what's there and replace these roofs as budget and time allows. These two roofs, the South Cloister and Faulkner Building, were set to be replaced in the 2018 budget, but due to the severe conditions that you see with these pictures, we're having some interior damage that we don't want to have to put even more money, more investing into the interior damage to replace these facilities. And we need to replace both of those roofs as soon as possible. So taking that into consideration, there is a remaining balance on the project for the Kenosha County Center roof. And we are hoping today to receive your approval to utilize $75,000 of that funds to put it into this account to pay for these roofs to be replaced this year.
So again, so everyone is clear, the roofing study that we had done is a long-term plan. And last year, we took the worst roof in the county and addressed that. This year, the second worst roof, and addressed that. So we have been fortunate in both our timing and the completion dates of these projects, even with the bad weather this year. Mr. Arbert shared with me a story from the people that did the the latest project at the county center, our timing has been crucial because he was asked if he bid that job now what the cost would be, and it was more than double what he did it for. More than double. So we have been very wise. We have done this properly. So we have money from this year, again, in savings on this. And last year we used the savings on the roof project to bail out some dangerous little situations, and that's what we're asking for on this one. Kemper Center is a county park. All the buildings are owned by the county, and we don't want it to rot. So, any discussion? Supervisor Bassett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The $75,000, just as a staff estimate, you haven't...
That was through Industrial Roofing Services. So we already went ahead with IRS, and they can complete phase one and phase two. Phase one gives us an estimate on what they see that the cost of these two roofs would be. Okay.
And what's the square footage of the area that's being replaced? Ballparkish?
The ones fairly, the South Cloister, that's about 25, maybe 30 feet in length by about 12 feet.
Okay.
So very small, and it's a copper interlocking panels.
Okay.
So a little bit of a unique structure with that one. Faulkner is a little bit larger. I'd say that one's about 75 square feet or so.
75 by 75. Oh, 75. I
was going to say 75 square. Not square. No, 75 by 75. Sorry.
And they're both rubber roofs?
Well, one's a membrane and one's a copper interlocking.
Oh, okay. That's right. Just said that. Super cool. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the surplus in the facilities capital budget is sufficient to cover the 75? We have more than that, in other words?
We do have more than that.
Already giving Kemper Center $50,000 in capital improvement money. Is there a reason that we're not using the money that is already allotted for the capital improvement project over there for the roof versus us taking money that could be used in an additional roof in the county and giving it to Kemper?
You could do it that way, but then we would be responsible for other things that are considered capital improvements that I talked to as far as, like I say, they have their capital improvement project list, for instance, like sidewalk replacement. That's on Kemper Center. That's on their list of things to accomplish. They have painting of the exterior of their building that they take on as their capital improvement. Hot water heaters, furnaces, those types of things do come out of their $50,000 when that's allocated to them. So these are all critical items, being roofs that are always and have always been paid by the county because we are the landowners. We own that facility. And if someone leases it out to us, just if you rented from a landlord, you would expect that landlord to replace a roof. We also give them those funds in order to do more of those other operational things that I've said as far as capital improvement, things that need to be happening on an annual basis.
And you also said that you're working with the IRS. Is it a job that was already bid? Do you already have that?
No, the job has not been bid.
So just based on IRS information is how you came up with the $75,000.
Correct, and that's what we do for all of our county buildings too. We work with IRS in order to put our approximate budget together, and then has to go through the bid process. But that gives us an idea of typically how much we need to allocate into that budget for these two roofs.
Anything else for Matt? Any further discussion?
I make a motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Supervisor Grady to approve the resolution. Can I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Franco. Further discussion? If not, you the governor.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. It's approved.
I have a further follow-up question that deals with this.
Okay.
I know I brought this up in the past and I can't remember the answer to it, but if memory serves correctly, the adjacent building over there, Anderson Arts Center, had not been evaluated by IRS in the past. Frank, can you recall?
We had actually Anderson, the building envelope, analyzed by Insight Architectural They are the firm that did the, were the consulting firm on the courthouse restoration and KCAB restoration. We had them look at Anderson probably in 2009, maybe 2010. Okay. And they did it, put together an estimate on the entire envelope, roof, walls, windows, kind of the whole exterior.
Okay. Was there anything that was of the pressing or more urgent nature as far as the roof goes at that point?
There were leaks identified around the chimneys, of which there's, I think, six or eight in that building. And we had those repaired at the time, which was to be like a 2 to 3 year repair. So far, it's monitored, and those are holding yet, but we're well beyond the life of what that repair was projected to last. And the roof there is a slate roof, and there's a very unique design of how the wall intersects with the roof, and you kind of can't do one without the other type. That's one of those things that it's on the radar, but it's not on the center of the radar right now, but it's definitely going to have to be dealt with at some point.
So is that, and you don't have to answer now, we can have this brought up again next committee meeting if you want to look into it, but is that part of an improvement plan? Is it in a capital budget as we speak?
I believe it doesn't show up in the long-term plan right now. It does not. Okay.
The Anderson Arts Center is.
That's what I mean. The Anderson Arts Center.
Yeah, it's the roof. The Anderson Arts roof is part of the Anderson roof project. What IRS did, they came in and they looked at every, 400 roofs.
Right.
From the roof on that little thing there to the roof on the courthouse. And they gave us priority over the years of everything that had to be fixed and when it had to be fixed, how much it would either cost to fix it, replace it, or maintain it.
But I don't think IRS actually took a look. I'm sorry. I don't think IRS actually took a look at Anderson, or did they?
I don't believe so. No, because it was this other, more comprehensive.
So the point of me bringing this up is just so this one doesn't fall through the cracks, and we don't address it because it wasn't evaluated by IRS. But at some convenient time, perhaps next meeting, I just would like to know the status of if that's in a capital improvement project.
I just want to ask Jim a question. I thought Anderson was in the long-term cap for Anderson.
For Anderson, yes.
There is something in the long-term capital improvement plan right now. I don't remember what year, but it's in the plan.
And the reason I bring this up is I remember there was some issues, and this is back before your time, Matt, where John Rudy had to address it due to the fact that there were some failures that were fixed temporarily, and that's the last they were calling. I just want to make sure it doesn't.
It is in the plan, but I can't remember what year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Those are my comments.
Thank you.
All right. And then for my status report, first thing is Petrifying Springs Park. And as previously spoke about, the beer garden is now officially open. We had our grand opening that Friday of Memorial Day weekend. Even though it was a dreary day, a lot of people still showed up to help celebrate and kick that one off. And it's been highly successful. Every day you see people down there. I was back on that Monday Memorial Day. Lots of people enjoying themselves. A lot of different demographics, from 80-year-olds, couples with walkers, to kids playing on the baseball field. A lot of families, smiling faces over there. So a huge hit so far. On to our North Barn demo project. We are finalizing the electric needs for the final stages for that project. And good news is we received some preliminary quotes of approximately $20,000, if not more, to demo that barn. We took a chance and put it on Wisconsin Surplus and got $6 out of the deal. So not only are we not paying, but hey, we got a lot of cash out of that one. So we're working on the final steps. We really hope that it works out. We're just signing the contracts and the agreements with these guys, and they'll be working on that this summer to deconstruct, and you'll probably see that stuff over at Crate and Barrel soon enough. Next thing is a reforestation bid. Kenosha Grounds Care was awarded this bid to plant 317 trees as part of our reforestation within the park this fall. So you can see the attached bid doc and that was awarded at $88,202. Next thing we have is just as a FYI, since this committee and the board approved our new donation program. We already had someone donate for a new kiosk over at Pets right off of the County Highway JR parking lot up there. So we have a couple attached picks. So people definitely are looking for places to donate, and we're really happy that they're thinking of the parks now for a lot of these amenities. And with that, you can see the donation menu that we kind of put in there. So if people have a hard time thinking of what would be a good donation and something that would fit in with the parks, we did that for them. So that's also online for that donation menu. Next is summer programs. That's all going to be starting for our Parks Division this coming week. We have a lot of free programs, really nice ad in the Kenosha newspaper, but free yoga, CrossFit, Tots in the Park for parents and their kids ages 3 to 5, Wildlife Explorers for kids that are 5 to 8, movie nights, that was already highly successful. We had our last one on Friday. I would say we had close to 300 people in attendance in our first movie night at Pets. So that's going to be going. A lot of those programs are a 10-week period through the summer season, so I would highly recommend to pass that along or take part in it yourselves. Next thing is Fox River Park, the tennis court. We're basically resurfacing that court. It's in desperate need. It's really not playable in the condition it is right now. We have cracks that are 2.5 to 3 inches. So they're going to be taping all those cracks, and we have a really solid company to restripe that, paint it, put new posts, and it's going to be for not only tennis but pickleball. So we're hoping for a variety of people to utilize those courts. Interesting conversation I had, but Wilmot Mountain, who is now owned by Vail Resorts, called us up and wants to bring 100 volunteers this fall over to Fox River Park as a community outreach to do a lot of projects through Fox River Park. So we're going to be gearing up and working on some pretty extensive projects. They have skilled trades, and they're bringing their families, so a variety of projects we can get done over in the park. So that's going to be huge for us and good PR as well. On to Silver Lake Park, our soccer fields, unfortunately our old soccer organization was not able to program those fields last fall and again this spring. But the good news out of it is we have a very energetic group that's been around for a while, Kenosha Crew, that's going to be taking over that program over at Silver Lake Park. In order to try to get the word out, you see an attached flyer for a 3-versus-3 league that's free for the kids if you're a Kenosha County resident. So that's huge for us. I think they're really good at promotion, recruiting, and getting full use out of those fields. So we're pretty excited about that partnership. Also with the beach, we just started our new canoe and paddleboard rentals over at Silver Lake Beach, so we're hoping that's a hit done this year too. On this Old Settlers Park, you can see attached pictures, Jacob Moss and Eagle Scout Project put in a new fishing pier, so we're already getting a lot of people using that one, so that's going to be a huge asset to us over there. I know I talked about the North Bike Trail and the amount of flooding, and We Energies really stepped up to the plate. That's actually owned by We Energies with that North Bike Trail, and then we were able to maintain it and put the bike trail on their property. But after talking to them, they were able to send their engineers and subcontractors out there, and they're able to fix those culverts and do the ditch lines, and they just took ownership over that project, and it's been working perfectly, drains perfectly, no standing water whatsoever, so that project is now complete. Another great partnership that was developed through our division was with Gateway. They started a new urban forestry program, and we're taking these students with their instructor, and the plan for this fall, the first semester they're having, is to have the urban forestry program within our parks. So we're starting with Silver Lake Park. We have a couple ash trees still remaining over there. So we met on site, and we're hoping that that'll be basically the classroom will be within the parks. So that's a great resource for us that they can take care of some of these trees. It's not only tree removals, but they're also gonna be doing pruning and other projects that truly our staff doesn't have time for. So utilization of Gateway's program, hopefully that helps us out in getting our parks in the tip-top shape. Don't know if anyone saw this or not, but if you have not, go to our website for our newest newsletter. It's got basically everything I talk about here. So it might be redundant, but if anything else, you can see everything that we have planned or our new amenities throughout the park system. So we did a pretty good job putting that out. Finally, more pictures. We had over 60 students participate with Harborside Academy. Kind of what Val was talking about is we received that free milkweeds as part of a grant as well. So we collaborated with Harborside Academy to plant 320 milkweed slugs in our new prairie. I'm not going to go into every event, but you can see we have an extremely busy month with all these activities. Most of them are free, are extremely economical for the general public. And then the last thing I have on there is the Pringle Nature Center reports. That's all I have.
Very good, Matt. You're very busy.
I am, yes. We all are.
Any questions for Matt on anything here? Not the summer schedule.
That's just June.
We don't want to get into this. Catch up.
What is our policy on parking at Pet Fine Springs? I noticed over at the garden there's been parking on the grass. Is that going to continue, or is there a way we're deterring that?
Good question. So what I can kind of anticipate is we're probably in our honeymoon stage as far as the amount of people, that this is a new amenity, something exciting for people to see. I don't think that it's going to always be as concentrated of a parking situation between the main lot and then off of County Highway JR. But we do not unless we start to impose grass parking, which we have done in the past for special events, we do not allow people just to start to park wherever they please. But if it's instructed by our operations staff, for instance, at our beer garden grand opening, we instructed folks to park in specified areas. We do have a night person that goes through. We're in constant contact with the sheriff's department. But yeah, we don't want that to get away from us as people thinking that they're going to be able to park in the grass areas, not unless we have a safe way to do so.
Yep, I wanted to add, just because Matt and I have talked about this a lot, that we don't know what normal is yet for that. We don't know that it's been open a week. It's been, I'm going to use the term, wildly successful in terms of the number of folks that have been out there. Matt's been out there much more than I have. I don't believe the owners or of the operation anticipated it was going to be this successful. Now, is this just, like you said, a honeymoon? And it's going to settle down once people kind of go, yeah, okay, you know. Or is it going to be something? So we're going to be tracking data in terms of a number of users as best we can. We're brainstorming to come up with some ways to track some of this stuff. Matt, one indicator was that we had a 10,000 vehicle week is a big week for us at Pets, and that was easily surpassed the first week that this was open.
That's record breaking. We never had 10,000 vehicles in one week.
So that's one piece, but we want to track data other ways too. So we're basically going to start to develop ways to track data so we can really determine what is normal going to be, so that we can adjust and make sure that everything plays nice with everything else that's out there. So it's going to be kind of a work in progress this year. But it's off to a really good start.
President, how about the dumping out there? How's that been the last month?
Not been an issue. What typically happens, this is an annual thing. Joe Ranchel, our park superintendent, has been there for 20 plus years, so he sees the ebbs and flows. Once you get a lot of people in the parks, there's not a lot of opportunity for people to start to dump because people are watching them.
Yeah.
So it really has died down.
Good.
And it's any garbage that's there is from park users.
Anything else for Matt? If not, we'll we want to dance. Where are you going to?
Yep, I'll take care of Dan. Biggest thing is pretty much what Dan's got listed there right at the outset. The spring has not been favorable to farmers, golf operations, landscapers, anybody that's doing stuff outside. The events that he's had have been attended, but not at the levels that we had hoped, obviously based on the weather. That said, they're just redoubling efforts. The courses, the good news, cool, wet weather, courses are in phenomenal shape. The folks that have been able to get out there are really raving about the conditions. The greens are firm. Everything plays really nice. Everything's in really good shape. He's worked out an arrangement with Kenosha News where they're going to be doing some additional promotion for us in an attempt to fill out the Kenosha County Open field a bit more this year. That's a new initiative. that he's Kenosha News has, he's engaged the Kenosha News with. Caddy and Leadership Program started, I think it was last Friday, that they, the 3rd, out at Brightondale. This year is the first year that we've got it out there. We're thinking that that facility is more conducive to a caddy experience than the pets was. And so we're going to try it out there and see where it goes. I know that, I don't know if you listed it here, but I know that in light of the success of Brightondale being the first public facility in the U.S., Milwaukee County now has one of their facilities that's part of the program as well this year. He mentions that golf courses are in great shape. The one thing the weather also has impacted is our ability to finish up a bunker removal project we started last fall at Brightondale. There's 11 bunkers we identified as kind of tier one bunkers that need to be removed. We haven't had a chance to. I know they're working on it now this week, and they were working on it last week because we got 4 days in a row without rain for the first time this season last week. So the plan is still to have them completed by Father's Day. We'll see how that works out, but the weather looks like it might hold this week, so there's a good chance that'll happen. And then they started the youth programs, started in earnest, I believe, last week, and we'll be going throughout the summer. There's 2 or 3 different leagues that he's got listed here. They participate in the PGA Junior League as well. So golf is off and running, and hopefully the weather has finally turned the corner here so that we can start to make up some lost ground, because we will need to make up some lost ground. We're definitely behind where we were at this time last year. So that's pretty much it.
John?
Yeah, would you care to comment on the Pets Golf Fish Fry?
Ah.
So the committee kind of understands we're stuck.
Yeah. We had originally anticipated trying to resurrect it this year. We got a new food and beverage person at Pets. Last year, if you recall, we had our main food and beverage person stationed at Brightondale running between both operations. And the decision was made last year based on the previous year's experience that there wasn't enough revenue being generated that we pulled the plug, especially in light of our resources being low last year. We went into this season with that same mentality. We were able to find somebody to help out at the Pets facility. And even though we had said we haven't had, you know, that great of luck with it from a revenue generation standpoint, she wanted to give it a shot. And we initially said, well, okay, she's the new kid on the block, let's give her a shot. And then we talked it further and we said, no, we're gonna not double down on this yet. We're gonna wait another year before we decide to go into it. Let her get her feet on the ground, really get all of the other operation up and running, and concentrate on that and experiment, or potentially experiment or entertain having the fish fry back next year. So for this year, we're not gonna run it. He just ran out of the stock that he had purchased for the initial startup. They finished it up. I think he's got a few pieces of perch left that they're gonna make perch sandwiches with and have it on the menu, and that's gonna be it for
I'll tell my phone calls. I'll tell my friend to go out there for that.
There are still, Dan just told me as of Friday, there's still a few perch in the freezer that they plan on making sandwiches with.
For people to say we're competing with restaurants or something like that, when we put a beer garden out in Pets Park to compete with every place in Kenosha that sells beer, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that we would, but if they're going to bring it back next year, I give them something to talk about then.
Yeah, I know it's going to be considered.
Thanks.
Anything else on golf? Facilities, Mike.
Start out with the Focus on Energy spreadsheet. Everybody's looking at that sheet. The list on top is getting smaller and smaller. There's basically 2 major projects left to do. Everything else is kind of minor. The first one I want to talk about is the KCC upgrading the LED fixtures outside. We're in the process of ordering that. As soon as those come in, we'll be working on it and get that done before the end of the year is up. That one will get moved. The other big one left after that is the KCDC exterior LED conversion. That we don't have money for in the budget this year. We're going to add it to the budget for 2018. We'll make this approved, and that'll get wiped out. That'll be the last canvas for the exterior conversion. 2 others to talk about that we're engaged in actively right now. At the Job Center, we're upgrading the domestic hot water systems, which are electric, to on the focus on energy incentives to get with that, but there's going to be a significant savings on energy and payback. We're doing that in-house with our HVAC guys. We're just going through the building one by one, replacing them all about halfway through right now. The other one to talk about is the courthouse. The LED light conversion there is on the inside of the building. We really haven't done much inside, so this is kind of our first foray that way. We've already converted the main hallway chandeliers. That's been done for a while. We did the exterior Christmas tree lights at the entrances. We kind of worked on into that. What's left are the wall sconces on each of the floors and the basement recessed lighting. We've got orders in for those fixtures, and I expect those to be done in a couple months. So those bottom two will be completed and complete for us. And then we just have the two left. There'll be more projects getting added to that, a couple of HVAC projects coming up, but maybe by next meeting I can talk about those and add it to the list. That's pretty much it for the focus on energy. Questions on that before I move on? Going to the ongoing project list. The one that's been on there for a while is the pre-trial sealant replacement project. That's been going on since the beginning of May. We're scheduled to take about a month. It's winding down. All we got left is the bridge. The whole building envelope is completed as of today. The bridge will take probably a couple days and that'll be done. So next meeting I'll be recording that project. A new project that I added is at the County Center, and that was to replace the fire system at the building. This year it becomes completely obsolete, so if any part would go, we would be able to get parts for it. They're not supported anymore, they're not available. So we budgeted money, and then we thought we were changing that out. We're upgrading the system actually by changing all the devices to addressable. I don't know if anybody knows what addressable devices are, so it's a smoke detector. Would be labeled as a panel, and it would tell you exactly where that device was going on. Before, you had zones, and you might have 10 to 15 devices on a zone, and you'd have to go search for it. Now you can go right to it. So it's a lot safer and easier for the maintenance people and the fire department. That system prior had two fire alarm systems, one downstairs and one upstairs. They did it that way when they built the building because the labor cost to pull cable all the way from the basement up to the lobby. Great. It was cheaper to do two panels. Now things are a little bit different, so we're going to simplify it. We have one system that is controlled by a lobby panel, and we'll have a slave system downstairs. And the big thing that does is it allows us to eliminate a phone line to that basement one, as well as a separate monitoring contract that saves us over $1,000 a year. So that's in process now, and probably by next meeting it will be well on its way and almost complete.
Any questions for Mike? Frank, you're up.
Mr. Chairman, the first project, the fire alarm system replacement at the courthouse. We had a punch list walkthrough on 531. Punch list was pretty minor. We're open to have those punch list items taken care of and have a final testing and sign off by the end of June. No questions? Go to the public safety building generator replacement. The generator showed up and was craned into place on 524. We get a big crowd of people anytime we get a big crane and we lift stuff up in the air. So it was quite a, we should have sold tickets actually. I keep forgetting about that. We gotta sell tickets to that. So yes, it's on the pad. It looks good. They've got to do the remainder of wiring now that's in place. We have to have two power shutdowns, one that'll just affect the IT room, and we have to minimize that downtime, and so we're trying to do all the pre-work for that. And then there's going to be one shutdown we have to tie into the main power for the building. That'll be about a five-hour shutdown on the weekend, so we're going to coordinate that with IT and then coordinate that with the rest of the building. The generators will keep everything critical during that five-hour shutdown, so just a little bit of coordination and trying to do everything ahead of time that we possibly can. No questions on that. Go to the public safety building addition, second floor project that includes the fleet maintenance building. We began hand demo, that which doesn't require a permit. That began on 5-2, the second. The renovation will continue over the summer. We're targeting the moving of fleet maintenance operations over to the new fleet maintenance building, or we call it the FMB, in late October this year. We're going to start work on the empty second floor of the public safety building in mid to late July, and we're targeting the whole project all to be completed in June, by June of 2018. No questions on that? Kenosha County Center roof replacement project. Project substantially complete. Whoops, I'm sorry. I skipped over the courthouse branch for remodel. Sorry about that.
So the contractor we hired.
Yeah, following in that same vein. Highlander Construction, Chicago suburbs, they weren't getting back to us on the bonding insurance, and we put the heat to them, and they withdrew their bid. So,
Polish guys.
Yeah, it was highly disappointing.
I'm not laughing at you.
No, trust me, it wasn't.
Too good to be true.
Pleasant. So, the good news is Absolute Construction was the second bidder and is still within our budget. And we've had good experience with them before, including one of the commissioner's offices in the courthouse. So, got the phone call. He had to check with all the subs. We're just working it out with, because we have a big Jensen trial coming up in September, so they can't do without a courthouse. So we're targeting mid-October. So we're just kind of ironing out those details. So now we'll get to the Kenosha County Center Roof Replacement Project. Project substantially complete, May 10th. They really, Koshak Roofing out of Milwaukee, very professional, very quick, very quality and detail oriented. They did really a great job. And as the chairman said, with the weather not being perfect, they really, really came through. And following up on the chairman's comments, the window, again, bidding it is even more critical, because when we met, we released the bid in January because I had some feedback. The sooner you get it out, the better. And we met in March for the pre-bid meeting where it was actually awarded to them. And following up after they're done, I said, "Well, what would you know? When were you booked? And you know, if you were to bid this now, you know, we got this for $279,000." And he said, you know what, we were booked at the end of March. If you would have let out this bid beginning of April, it would have been $600,000. So that timing is even more critical. Having said that, the way we changed things, there was no cost increase to Tony. What we did was we took the engineering, generally we take the engineering and specifications because we get the money in January. We would do that. Of course, everybody's busy at the beginning of the year, so January, February, you know, maybe going to March, and we release it, you know, in April. Still not too late, you think. But that's how, especially with them getting even more busy with the economy going. So it was a no-cost change where we took this input. If we could get it out sooner, we did the engineering the previous year. October, November, had it all wrapped up. December, get it out on the street in January. So it cost us nothing other than shifting the time around, and the payback was enormous.
Wow.
So just following up on your comments, it's really fantastic nugget we found. That's it for me, Mr. Frank.
Any questions for Frank? So now, are you going to going to do Clements, right?
Sure. I'll do Clements. You've already put it together, and pretty straightforward. Probably if you're out in the county at all, or even in parts of the city where there's county roads, you've seen our guys out there. Between mowing, culverts, guardrails, just general maintenance stuff, as well as probably haven't seen the paving crew. One thing that helped this year is because of the Brookside project, we kind of started the whole season about a month earlier, early than normal. So as soon as they were done with Brookside, they queued up and they've been working on JB. They're doing about a 5.5 mile stretch from 45 to B, I think. I know it's past 75, so it's only goes past west of 75. It's a 5.5 mile stretch. They've been working on that. I believe Clement said they should be done with that in mid-June is when we're planning on being done with that. And then we've got a full plate of other paving projects throughout the summer. But because we got an early start, we should be able to accomplish well above our average number of 13 miles a season. You also notice on Highway 50, there's going to be a number of projects going on in Paddock Lake, really over probably the next, I'm going to say, 4 to 6 weeks, as the state continues to let us. They want us to cut out all that bad, really bad pavement, and they're replacing it with concrete. I'm hoping that this is going to be better than what was there in terms of longevity, because that the existing stuff really didn't last anywhere near what it should have. I don't know the exact life, but I know that it was probably half, and it's mainly because they didn't deal with some of the subsurface issues, and they are doing some of that this time. It's a state specification, so I'm hoping what they're doing is going to last longer than the last cut and paste that we did there. Bigger projects, County Highway H and Bain Station Road intersection, we're in the process of acquiring the final pieces of right-of-way to do that roundabout there. It's in process. We're planning on being able to start the actual construction in August. If we can do that, we will be able to complete that project this year. But it's going to be pretty snug. Everything is going to be pretty snug on that project. County Highway E bridge project is actually a state project. That project remains on schedule and should be completed in August. The County Highway W, that real sharp 90-degree curve that most folks are familiar with, that's being worked on. It started on the 30th. Detours are in place, and that will be a huge improvement to that area, especially with the volume of commuter traffic in the morning and in the afternoon that takes that road from Illinois going out west to Lake Geneva, Elkhorn area. KCC fuel tank project, we had a bit of a situation with that. We started that fuel replacement project in earnest 2 weeks ago, and because there were some specifications having to do with identifying the underground utilities, the contractor, and they were, I'm going to say they were defined, but maybe not as clear as they should have been, he did not take the time to have the private lines, the private under utility lines identified, and subsequently hit the power line that runs from the main building to one of our cold storage buildings. And the bad news was he hit the line. Good news was we were going to have to move it anyways because it went right literally where the tanks are going to be located. So we were able to take and move everything, get everything. It happened about 8 o'clock in the morning. By 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we were back excavating and doing what we needed to do to keep the project going. So the project didn't really lose any time. We would have had to move the lines anyways, so there wasn't really an extra cost to that. The only thing that would be an extra cost, and arguably that's not even an extra cost, is something that Mike touched on already, and that's when the high voltage line that was in this trench, there was also low voltage lines in there that controlled one of the fire system subpans, one of the ones that Mike had talked about. So that 480 volts backfed through what normally has 12 or 24 volts in it and took out that panel. But that panel was planned to be replaced this year anyways because it's obsolete. There are no components for it. So the only question I had was, now that it got taken out in this event, perhaps that'll be covered by insurance. So I have that question into our insurance to Barna in the finance department. He smiled and laughed pretty much like Supervisor Bostrom just did, so I don't think it's going to happen, but it may, in fact, that may be something. We're at least barking up that tree to see what will happen. So I just wanted to make you aware of that in case you heard anything. The bottom line is everything else is on project. The tanks were put in the ground actually the next day, and that project remains on target to be complete by October. Other state projects that are in play, Highway 45, folks in Bristol know, and folks in the area know that they are now moved into the next phase where the intersection at C and 45 is closed completely. In fact, it could have made getting here interesting, depending on if you were coming from the west, which way you came. They are on track at this point to still be completed at the original date in November. But there will be different phases of that as the project evolves over the summer months here. And in Pleasant Prairie, the Highway 165 project, I'm not as familiar with the details of what's going on there, but I know that it's slightly behind schedule based on weather impacts, some of what they had to do on the bridge deck over there. It's still scheduled to be completed in July, so that's coming up pretty quick. One of the items he didn't list on here was that intersection of H and S, where we've been working. There's been some movement on that, not any major milestone, good or bad. Right now, the FHWA is formally evaluating our formal request to move the end point for that first phase of the project from the intersection to the access into First Industrial's property. And we're led to believe we're supposed to hear in the next week or two what the final decision is on that. And that'll allow some of the other conversations to start to move forward as well. So still a work in progress. We've enlisted the assistance of Supervisor or Assemblyperson Kirkman to help us with some stuff. She's got some contacts in the Speaker Ryan's office, and we've used them. And bottom line is, things are starting to move, still not quickly because of all the agencies involved, but things appear to be moving towards some kind of resolution. What it's exactly going to be, I'm not certain at this point, but stuff is at least moving. It's not just sitting there.
Would you care to share some of the cost analysis that you put together for the RPZ analysis? What the set couple of options were?
At the risk of I don't want to throw out a number. I know that some of the things we looked at involved going up above with one road or the other.
FAA taking out the two industrial buildings at a cost of $55 million.
That one, I didn't hear that one. No. So if you got that
one.
Yeah,
there were some eye-popping.
Okay, I did not see that one.
The new Aaron's one, you mean?
Yeah. The runway protection zone analysis that was supposed to be done on behalf of the county as part of, you know, kicking the can further up the road, came up with three options of what to do. One was nothing. The other was what you're discussing, the right of way into the industrial park. And then final was to take out the two existing buildings that were just erected.
I did not see that.
$55 million.
A mere $55 million.
Yeah. So, I thought that was just absolute genius because that really catches somebody's eye. That's probably not an option.
Probably not.
Even though that's ideally what they'd love to see, it's not
gonna probably not. No, I did not see that report.
I thought that came from that.
I didn't see it. It might have been something that was prepared by R.A. Smith.
It was something that came across our desk as prepared for the county.
For the RPZ.
That's actually why Clement's not here. He's at an asylum now. he saw it.
That's pretty much it from the highway department. Move on to Brookside. Most folks are probably familiar. The month of May was busy at Brookside. Passed our state inspection, received occupancy approval on 5-9. On 5-17, we started the move of 140 residents at 7 o'clock in the morning from the existing facility into the new building. Completed the move in just under 8 hours without incident. Brookside staff was supplemented with a facilities staff from all of Mike's buildings and an army of volunteers. Right now, The building continues to kind of, many adjustments are being made by residents and staff as they're getting used to the new facility, because literally everything is new. So nursing, dietary, housekeeping, everybody is going through an adjustment phase right now, especially in light of we've got, you know, double the number of folks essentially that are in the building right now in the interim phase until we get the existing building remodeled. There's been a lot of stuff, though. Daily, literally, stuff is being adjusted. HVAC, plumbing. Every day as stuff is discovered, stuff is dialed in. One of the good things about the way we're doing the project is that all of the contractors are on site yet working on the remodeling. We started the demo, 5/22 is when we started the demo. All the contractors are there. So if there is something identified as a question or an issue in the new part of the building, the contractors are right there. Anything that needs to be adjusted, looked into, investigated, everything can be addressed real quickly. We don't have to wait for somebody to come from another job site. So I'm confident that we will get things working as smoothly as we can get them in the next few weeks. As we dig into the details of the next part of the project, we're really starting to focus now. We had last week was our first meeting since the move in. And so now as we're starting the demo and really starting to get a handle on what's going to be involved in the remodeling aspect of the existing building, we're taking another look at where some of what's going to be remodeled intersects with some of what's not going to be touched, because not everything in the building is planned to be touched. And we're looking at what we can do from a finish standpoint to make some of those transitions a little smoother. The lime green wall coverings that are in the hallways, when we had bids for the painting and some of the other finishes, we had alternates specified back when we bid it 18 months ago or whenever. And we haven't picked any of those alternates yet for painting or moving or doing. So we're going to start to look at those kinds of things so that at the end of the day, I believe the directive from Fran is that we don't want it to look like Circus World at Baraboo. We want to make sure the stuff, because there's a lot of mauve, there's a lot of lime green. And we had planned on doing everything, refinishing the resident rooms in terms of flooring and wall coverings or painting in there. That was part of the original plan, but some of the more common areas that aren't being touched, that wasn't part. Although, like I said, we got some alternate pricing for those. So we're going to start to focus on that stuff now to see what we can do to make things look a little more seamless. That's pretty much Brookside, and then one of the good things that we've been talked about we're doing is lean initiatives. We did some in Mike's shop, we've done some at Brookside, we are going to start to expand them into the other public works areas. They used lean extensively in laying out this move of all these folks. So you got 140-ish people that needed to move, and when they first laid everything out and came up with the process to ensure, first of all, everybody's safety, but second of all, how you can do it in a timely time frame so you can minimize the number of folks involved in the whole process. They were at about between 14 and 15 hours. And then by using a series of lean techniques, bless you, to analyze kind of what could be done to make things, bottom line is they projected it, they got it down, I think the last meeting we had, we were projecting just under 9 hours. It actually came in just under 8 hours. And Mike was there. He was pushing carts and helping out. He saw how it was firsthand. I was over there for a good portion of the day. And once it got rolling, it really, everything. And there's bottlenecks. There was one elevator. So you had to frame everything out in a way that you could still move folks safely, timely, and provide operations then. In that you couldn't leave like 20 people unattended from a nursing standpoint. So all that stuff had to be coordinated, and it wasn't like the D-Day invasion, but it was quite a logistical operation, and everybody over there just did a tremendous job. It was really a heck of an operation, and it went very, very smoothly. And I believe that lean played a role in that process.
Well, realistically, started out as probably a 2-day move.
Right.
Shaved down between 8 hours.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive. Summer projects are in full swing in all the departments, as you got reports tonight. And we did have luck in hiring a civil engineer, that position. We've got, I can't remember the young man's name. He is a Mequon native, but was working for the city of Indianapolis for about 5 years. Wants to get back up here. Clement and Ron interviewed him, interviewed about four or five people a couple weeks ago, selected him, and he's going to be starting in mid-June. So that's going to be a big help as well. So that's pretty much it from an overall department standpoint.
Any questions for Ray? We have one more item here from Supervisor Blau for Wisconsin Bike to Work Week in Kenosha County. And apparently it's different than the other Wisconsin Bike to Work Week and the National Bike to Work Week. We have our own from June 11th to the 24th. And this is...
Sounds like it's longer than a week.
Pardon?
Sounds like it's longer than a week.
It does.
Yes, but then Kenosha County it is. So that Jerry Rose and Bill can ride to work and ride a bike.
It's going to be 2 weeks.
And if you catch Jerry riding a bike to work, let me know.
That'll be an interesting scene.
Yeah. So now, this just comes to us. This resolution?
Yeah, I'm not really sure the logistics on this one. Jim hasn't heard anything.
Do we have a science sheet?
I didn't get one, and I just realized that. But it does have to go before the county board before the week. So I think that the county board meets
tomorrow.
So yes.
So
we can sign a signature. Sheet.
We can sign.
Sorry.
But we have a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Supervisor O'Day, signed by Supervisor Grady, to make a proclamation here, a resolution that the 11th to the 24th, the Bike to Work Week in Kenosha County.
Bike to Week fortnight.
Fortnight. Yeah. Youth and Governance, honey roll. The committee?
Aye.
Aye.
So it's approved. So.
I guess we just. Wendy, do you know if it's on the county board agenda?
It is.
It is? Okay. And she's probably going to need to clarify that June 11th to 24th, because that is 2 weeks. So.
Yeah.
Like the word weeks.
Weeks. Yeah.
This will work right here. Or I can just make something up. Look, I got to give my pen to these two.
Yeah.
Hey, one pen. Three of them.
First time I brought them out.
Huh? Black ink.
Yeah,
it's expensive.
Official.
What is a chance to put on here?
But that kind of came from a Burlington health food. So, does anyone have anything else, or can I have a motion to adjourn? Right?
Just the last thing, Mr. Chairman, about the July meeting would normally fall on Monday, July 3rd.
Right.
And if everybody can move to the 10th, it still would be 4 weeks between our next meeting, August 7th. So still space out fine, it would give folks...
We thought people that were traveling might be, you know. So we'll be doing it the 10th.
I'm going to miss the 10th.
I won't be here. I won't be here. So
well, now.
Maybe the 3rd's better.
Wait.
I won't be here the 3rd.
Maybe the 7th.
Well, what, Bill, will you be
here? At this point, I would be. I can't say.
Right. I'll be
here.
I'll be here. Three.
I'm not going to be there.
We'll be all right.
Both weeks. I'm gone for the month.
Oh, Jeff will be back. Yeah. We'll have four.
So if we got four, we're good.
Yeah. If not, we get the chairman to come to the meeting.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, that's what you do. Yeah. Okay.
Motion
to adjourn?
Yeah.
Second by Supervisor Gilmore. All in favor of adjourn?
Aye.